The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Super Bowl LVII, because I can't read Roman numerals. Didn't learn how. Not going to learn how now. I'm too old. Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan hanging out here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona on CBS Sports HQ for the Pick 6 Podcast Show. How we doing, fellas?
Breach. It's Super Bowl 57, so now you know.
57, thank you.
We're good to go.
For the next 6 months, once this game is over, I'm going to spend the entire offseason teaching Brinson Roman numerals. That is the only thing I have on the docket for the next 6 months.
I can't even do mountain time. I can't do Roman numerals.
I was sitting around waiting to do an interview on Monday, and I was like, call the guy. I'm like, well, are you going to call me or what? He's like, dude, it's like an hour away. That's mountain time just doesn't work for me. Roman numerals, I didn't expect us to do them all. By the way, shout out to nationally ranked NC State Wolfpack. Only team in North Carolina to be nationally ranked right now. Did you know that? It's a fun fact. North Carolina, Duke, no. Wolfpack tonight at Virginia. Let's go. But nobody cares about it. Actually, you know what? Former NC State football player Russell Wilson, how about that segue, is now being coached by Sean Payton. I don't know if they'll be on Hard Knocks, but it's going to be a Hard Knock life for Russell Wilson. Sean Payton delivering Wilson some, not some ultimatums, just some, like, I think the phrase you keep hearing is the new sheriff in town, because Sean Payton was asked, like, what do you think about Russell Wilson having his own personal quarterbacks coach hanging around the facility? He's like, I don't know about all that. I'm unfamiliar with that, but we're going to have our guys and we're going to have our players in the building, and that's how it's going to roll. Do you think this is a good start for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, right?
It's a good start for Sean Payton, for sure. And part of me wonders, Breach and Sully, if Sean Payton saw when Bill Belichick refused to let Tom Brady bring in his personal coach into the building, and then Tom Brady left. And that was obviously bad for Bill Belichick. Maybe Sean Payton's playing the long game with Russ Wilson. He'll get out of that enormous contract, and they can get forward with the business of finding their quarterback. But I think whether, you know, they obviously got to work with Russ. I'm sort of joking there. But there has to be rules in place, and that's why during the process I thought there needed to be someone in there, whether they knew X's or no's or not, Breach, that they would be able to set down the rules, and Russell Wilson would have to follow those rules.
Well, what you need is someone in there who is not afraid to tell Russell Wilson no, and clearly a first-year coach who had never been a head coach in the NFL before is not that person.
No.
Oh, Russell, you want to have your personal coach? Sure thing. Oh, you want to have your chiropractor in here? Yeah, bring him in. Oh, you want your own office? You know what? No one else has one, but yeah, you
want to call plays? Go for it, Russ.
Just whatever you want, Russ. No, Sean Payton is going to lay down the law. And like you said, if Tom Brady, a 7-time Super Bowl winner, can't bring his fitness guy in there, you certainly cannot expect to have that if you're Russell Wilson. So I like that Sean Payton is laying down the rules right away.
Well, they were allowing Tom Brady's personal trainer in the building. It was just in the upper suites where nobody near the players or anywhere in the locker room. But ultimately, this is about setting a culture, right? As much as we're talking about hard nose, changing the offense, being a disciplinarian, it's about setting a tone that's totally different from what we saw a year ago in Denver, because what we saw with Nathaniel Hackett, I mean, they were bringing in different head coaches or different coaching assistants midway through to help him make decisions. And so now that you're actually laying down the law, setting things up for Russell Wilson, that's going to help them obviously change the offense as they move forward as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, like, you talk about the offense and what happened last year. There were, like, the first five games, there were like three or four like false start penalties or delay of game penalties. Mm-hmm. And what was happening, mostly delay of games, what was happening was, as I understand it, Nathaniel Hackett was calling several plays, essentially giving Russell Wilson multiple options from which to choose. And so once he gets those three plays called into Russell, then you would have, you know, Russell then goes and like has to decide. And so by the time he's like getting the play into the teammates and calling the play and they're getting the line of scrimmage, there's no time left to go. And they get the delay of games or the false starts and all these mistakes are being made. I mean, it's just not how a proper operation is run. Sean Payton knows how to run an offense. That's why everyone has kind of buying back in a little bit to the Denver Broncos. On the other side of the ball for another team on another conference, that's a terrible segue, the Minnesota Vikings, after firing Ed Donatell for a disastrous playoff performance and, of course, you know, regular season, we saw the Colts light him up. Giants torched him in the playoffs. The Minnesota Vikings defense was a train wreck. They have gone out and hired a big name and a guy who's been fairly controversial in terms of his firing in Miami and then suing the league, Brian Flores. Ryan, now with the Minnesota Vikings, your thoughts on that hire?
I think it's a great hire. And I don't even know if it was controversial after the first few weeks of what happened, because that was probably 53 weeks ago, because I was at the Senior Bowl at the time, and that sort of took away from the Senior Bowl because it's obviously a pretty big event. But then over the summer, Mike Tomlin hired him, and they did it quickly, and Tomlin has since told the story where he went into the Rooney's office and said, I'm thinking about hiring Brian Flores, and all he got back was good. And there's not been a peep since. He's been great with the linebackers, which is the capacity he served in Pittsburgh. He was up for a head coaching job, I think, in Arizona. You mentioned yesterday, Breach. And this is a great get for a Vikings team that I think we can all agree. We like to take shots at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins wasn't the problem last year. It was that god-awful defense that I think the stat was they played 18 games. They won 18 games, or 17 games at least, by three points or less. That's only a slight exaggeration. I think it's a great hire. If you fix the defense, you're going to have every chance to compete in that division with Aaron Rodgers up in the air.
Yeah, I think if there's one loser here, it's the Arizona Cardinals, because Brian Flores is no longer in the running for your head coaching job. But for the Vikings, this does feel like a fantastic hire, because you look at what he's done over the past few years, whether it was running the defense in New England, whether it was his first couple years with the Dolphins, where he was a successful coach and he started to turn that team around before things got bad and they got rid of him. But I feel like the Vikings job is win-win situation for him, because as you mentioned, Ryan, this defense was so bad last year, I don't think they can be any worse. So what's going to happen is they're going to improve at least a little bit. That's going to make Flores looks good. And then if they improve a lot, then they're a Super Bowl contender. And if they're in this game next year, then Brian Flores is a genius, and he's going to be head coach in 2024.
Well, it was 100% reason why we all thought they were fool's gold, right? I mean, it was nothing, like Ryan was saying. It was nothing about the offense. It was all the defense. They had 12 wins. They had the worst point differential in DVOA of any 12-win team or better. It was embarrassing, and that's why I pegged them. I knew the Giants were going to beat them in that game. I mean, there was no faith going into Minnesota, and it was only because of that defense. And following Flores from my time in New England, he is a tone setter on that side of the ball. He is somebody who will come in and command a room. He's obviously a head coach for a reason in the NFL with Miami, but that was never the issue with Miami as well. It was all because he didn't like Tua. He can coach defense, and that is what's going to help them next year in the NFC North.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The San Francisco 49ers also hired a defensive coordinator, former Panthers interim head coach. And I mean, you know, definitely some ties here with Steve Wilks and Brian Flores. Both were involved in that lawsuit. The 49ers brought on Wilks as their defensive coordinator. Our pal Adam, friend of the podcast, Adam Beasley, actually reported for Pro Football Network that there were several Panthers players who were unhappy with the idea that Steve Wilks wasn't retained as head coach and that Frank Wright was brought in. Ultimately, yeah, we can quibble about that, but this is a pretty good pull by the 49ers after losing another defensive coordinator to head coaching position to D'Amico Ryans, who went to Houston.
Yeah, no, we'll find out in a few nights when Breach is covering this for, I think, Tyler Sullivan as well, the NFL Honors, who is going to be coach of the year. My vote is Brian Daboll. No one cares. But if you told me that Steve Wilks won it after going 6-6 when Matt Rhule in his baggy khaki pants got fired, I would be like, okay.
Whoa. They're not baggy, they're wrinkled.
They're wrinkled.
There's a big difference.
And that's per owner David Tepper. That's not me calling out Matt Rhule.
Sweaty and dresses like bleep.
Yeah, that's billionaire money talking. what that is. Yeah. But I think the takeaway for me is Steve Wilks, you can make the case, and Brinson mentioned it earlier, but Brian Burns came out and said, I would love for Steve Wilks to be here. Now, Frank Reich is not a bad hire. In fact, it's a great hire, especially if you're trying to get that offense going. But now Steve Wilks goes to San Francisco, where he follows Robert Saleh, where he follows DeMeco Ryans, and he's going to have, and Sully just talked about what the Vikings could potentially be, the 49ers, once they get the quarterback situation sorted out in a good way, they're going to be in the mix for one of the best teams in the NFC, Breach.
Yeah, we've seen that defense the last few seasons has been one of the best in the NFL. I mean, we should just go ahead and congratulate Steve Wilks on getting a head coaching job next year, because that's what happens if you're a 49ers defensive coordinator. We saw it with Robert Saleh now coaching the Jets. We saw it with DeMeco Ryans, who just got hired in Houston. And I don't think this defense is going to fall off at all with Steve Wilks running the show. And honestly, this might end up working better off for him. It would have been great to have the Carolina job, but you go to San Francisco, this team is going to be a Super Bowl contender next year. The defense looks good, and then boom, maybe you're in a better situation as a head coaching candidate next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a slam dunk. Not to toot my own horn here, but when we were doing the DeMeco Ryans emergency podcast.
You did say this. I knew somebody had said it. I couldn't remember who it was.
I did say that Steve Wilks would be the ideal candidate for San Francisco, and you know, look what happened. And ultimately, this is setting yourself up to have an impeccable resume to get yourself a head coaching job. Obviously, he already has that with what he was able to do with Carolina. He was certainly worthy of it going into this hiring cycle. But now you pair yourself with Nick Bosa, and now you pair yourself with the top defense in the NFL. There's really going to be no drop off here for San Francisco. Like Ryan was saying, they are still a top tier Super Bowl contender. When this Super Bowl is all said and done, it would not surprise me if they're the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl next year, no matter what happens in this game between these two teams.
Lot to be sorted out at the quarterback position, obviously. And I am curious with Wilks, exactly what we get in terms, like Wilks, when he was the head coach of the Cardinals and when he was last defensive coordinator of the Panthers, you know, very blitz heavy. And so I'm just curious to see how he approaches that. Like, they got the personnel to do it because they can hold up on the back end. You get him, Fred Warner's a great blitzing, you know, linebacker. And just, I mean, it'd be very interesting to see how he fits with that personnel. I'm sure that they will like him. And aggressive defensive, you know, play calling, not something that Kyle Shanahan's going to shy away from. Be very curious to see how that plays out. Aaron Rodgers. Ah, yes. Can't have an offseason. You know, it's funny because we all used to feel bad for Aaron Rodgers because Brett Favre was yo-yoing him all over the place, and he couldn't decide what he was going to do, and he's in, he's out, he's retired. It's like, and Rodgers, you know, Rodgers would vow never to do that same thing to whoever was whoever was following him. And yet, here we are. Rodgers saying that Devontae misses you is what he heard at Pebble Beach, and he said that the Raiders were the predominant team that he saw repped, and people were talking about him going to the Raiders. He said it with a sly grin, and then earlier today he was on the Pat McAfee show. I'm not sure you guys caught this, but he said that he's trying to decide. He's got to go to his isolation place. He's got to go to his darkness chamber. It's a 4-day darkness retreat where there's no music. They're like in a box or something, like a dark room with like two slits so people slide food in a couple times a day. No music, just you and the darkness and your thoughts. And that's how he's going to figure out what he wants to do. Is he approaching a level like that's worse than Favre, Ryan? And when he eventually decides that he's going to keep playing, which he will, is he going to go to the Raiders or stay in Green Bay?
I'm stuttering because I'm trying to do the math about is he worse than Favre. I think Favre was very simple in that he just couldn't make up his mind, right? If Favre feels like a guy who loves football and probably he goes hunting and probably doesn't do a lot else, right? It feels like Aaron Rodgers, through the years, we've seen him come off as something of an intellectual. At least he tries to portray himself as such, and he seems like a smart guy, but it felt like such things didn't worry Brett Favre. Now, look, if he wants to do this retreat and go sit in a dark room and pretend he's in a prison for 4 days, that's his business. And that's what, you know, rich people do when they get rich. They do weird things. At the end of the day, he's still probably the best quarterback in Green Bay. He would be the best quarterback in Las Vegas, of course. But, Breach, if you're either of those places, you're trying to figure out the quarterback situation. One team has Jordan Love, a young quarterback. The other team doesn't have anyone, but you have a high draft pick. So I would feel like, in both situations, I just want to get a young quarterback.
Well, and part of this is when Rodgers is doing this stuff, trying to obtain super omnigalactic oneness by locking himself in a dark room, is that he is missing the offseason. That was some of the chatter you heard last year, was he wasn't around for spring workouts and OTAs to build chemistry with these new guys. And so it seems like that's going to be a concern once again this offseason. And so Look, whether it's his South American drug retreats or his locking himself in a dark room, he's trying new things. That's fine if he's winning MVPs and Super Bowls. Right. But since we've seen him flip, it's been a little dicier. So I think if I'm the Packers or if I'm whatever team obtains him, I'm at least like maybe a minuscule concerned about everything.
I think he's slowly turning into like the NFL's David Blaine. He's just doing weirder and weirder things. Soon enough, he's going to be like wrapped in ice for like 4 days.
And you're like, he's not dead yet?
I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable what we've been seeing.
Or maybe, he's like the NFL Garth Brooks, right? He's like, he's got a, who's Garth Brooks' alter ego that he did the album
Chris.
With?
Chris.
You're looking at the wrong person.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway.
We don't listen to
that. But if you're Green Bay, at a certain point, don't you just say, enough with this guy? We do have a young quarterback in Jordan Love that we haven't traded yet through all of this, which would tell you that they probably like him. I mean, you're probably not getting a first round pick back, but you would still want to see that asset through. I don't know why at this point, when you trade away Davante Adams last offseason, you're kind of in that rebuilding mode. You're probably going to get rid of Aaron Jones this year as well, right? I mean, that seems like a salary cap issue that you're going to get rid of. You move on with A.J. Dillon. You move on with Jordan Love. It feels like the right time for them to maybe call things off. For the Raiders, you say that they could probably have a young quarterback with that top pick, but they kind of have a roster that's a little bit older. They trade for Davante Adams. They signed Chandler Jones. They brought in different veterans. They kind of feel like they're a little bit more urgent in their approach.
But in that division, you're basically just kicking the can down the road because you're not winning that division next year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know, man. Rodgers, look, I want Rodgers in Las Vegas. I may have even said Oakland earlier. I want him in, I've said Oakland several times this week. I want him in Las Vegas. You think about that combo of like Rodgers, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Russell Wilson, like now with Sean Payton. I mean, that might actually deliver on all the promises that we were given this past offseason next year. Okay, I didn't sign off on this topic, but here we are. I didn't know. This is Sully's idea. Demanded. He said, I'm not coming on HQ unless we talk about Tom Brady posing in his underwear. The thing that happened, I assume we're now going to show it on TV, or do I just have to describe what happened when it came to Tom Brady?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there we go. There it is. Oh. Did I do it right? Tom Brady said, I don't know, like 6 months ago, that if he got 40,000 likes on a tweet, he would recreate a picture of somebody in his underwear holding himself and taking a selfie, and Tom Brady did that. He's trying to sell underwear. I mean, Sully, Ryan, I know that this is your favorite.
This is my wheelhouse, it turns out.
Yeah. What do you think about Tom Brady here?
You know, it's, again, at one point he was from a Northern California kid. He went to school at Michigan, and he was like every one of us when we went to college, except for probably Brinson. No offense. No, I'm kidding. I know. You were, and ironically enough, you did sit around a lot in your underwear, so
it makes
But my overall point is, at some point, when you get hundreds of millions of dollars and you're married to supermodels, you do things that you probably wouldn't do. Russ Wilson and CR probably do things that we normally don't do. I get all that, but I'm fine with it. Whatever. He's getting well compensated. But I'll just ask you this, Breach, because you are a connoisseur of pop culture in like the weirdest corners of pop culture. What was more troubling is how we'll describe it. This photograph here of Tom Brady's underwear as a 45-year-old, or the one where he's hugging a goat 20 years ago as part of the GQ shoot, I believe.
Well, I would probably say this one. Look, he retires from football and instantly hits a midlife crisis. Maybe that is a small issue. But you know what? I'm not going to judge Tom Brady, because who amongst us has not sat in their hotel room in their underwear in that pose? We've all done it. We just don't share our pictures on Twitter. We have all done it, right?
Sure.
I mean, I've sat around a hotel.
I'm telling on myself.
Not in the pose.
I told on myself.
I was waiting to say this. If I do, 40,000 likes? Do I do that now? Can I do that?
Yeah.
I feel like I need to follow in my quarterback's footsteps.
Except your underwear has to be made of a cactus to celebrate
all the Brady brand.
We're in
at that point. I mean, it's perfect. I've already bought 10 pairs.
All right.
Whoever put this on the rundown, they just probably got fired.
Somebody's like, why? Who put that on the rundown?
Yikes.
Coming up next, bold predictions on the offensive side for Super Bowl 57. After the break, here on the Pick 6 Podcast Show on CBS Sports HQ.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the Pick Six Podcast Show here on CBS Sports HQ. Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, Tyler Sullivan hanging out here in beautiful Pants Park. Did I pronounce it right? I was scared I was going to say Pants Park for some reason.
You got it.
Thank you. Fantastic work by me. Super Bowl 57. Incredible weather. Incredible city. Phoenix is starting to get, you can start to feel a little buzz building. You get all your Monday slow. Tuesday starts to creep up. Wednesday and Thursday, you really get popping. And then, of course, the weekend things get rolling ahead of the big game. We got some big, bold predictions for said big game. And, Breach, we're going to start with you on the offensive side of things. Give me your bold prediction offensively for Super Bowl 57.
Well, my bold prediction is that you guys will refer to me as young Ben Affleck for the rest of the week, since one of our Pick Six fans referred to me as that.
You know,
that.
We only have so much time here, so let's not delve into
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
You know, the fiction can be funny. However, the truth is much more enlightening.
Get my moving. Bold prediction for Super Bowl 57 on the offensive side of the ball is that Patrick Mahomes throws for 400 yards or more. He is going up against an Eagles defense that only surrendered more than 300 yards just one time the entire season. That was Dak Prescott in December, threw for 347 yards, and that was it. That was the only quarterback who threw for more than 300. Also, you don't see 400-yard passers happen too often in the Super Bowl. It's only happened three times ever. Two of them were by Tom Brady, and one of them by Kurt Warner. So that's what we're looking at here. And you know what? He doesn't have Tyreek Hill. It is Travis Kelce. He's got a banged-up receiving core, but I still think he hits the 400 yards.
That's good. I'm glad you didn't say 300 yards, because as you can see, he has the second-most 300-yard passing games in history. Sully, what do you think? What's your bold prediction offensively for the Super Bowl?
My bold prediction is that Jalen Hurts is going to shatter the rushing record for a quarterback in the Super Bowl. The record's 64 by Steve McNair in 1994.
That's low.
It's very low. I'm saying he's not really going to break it. He's going to rush for 100 yards in this game. You ask, okay, has he done that once? He's done that once before this season. He's gone over the record four times this season. So for me, Jalen Hurts, he has multiple double-digit carry games. To me, this is one that he's going to absolutely shatter, because Kansas City Chiefs give up the third most rushing yards to quarterbacks this season.
It's pretty insane to look at that list of quarterbacks with the most rushing yards in Super Bowl history. Yeah, McNair, Colin Kaepernick, Steve Young. Did I see Joe Montana up there?
That was career, though. But still, the fact that Joe Montana's third.
I was like, man, that doesn't seem like a very Montana-esque stat, but sure, whatever works.
Still Joe.
Wilson, what about you? You going to stay on the Eagles, or you going to go with the Chiefs?
No, I'm going back to the Chiefs, and I won't spoil what our Super Bowl predictions are, but maybe you can get some hints by as we do these bowl predictions. But I'm going with this guy named Travis Kelce out of your hometown, Cincinnati. He is going to go for 150 receiving yards. Let me ask you this, Breach, because I like you the best on this set. No offense, guys.
Thank you.
Do you know who holds the record for most receiving yards in the Super Bowl?
I'm taking offense to that, by the way.
Is it Jerry Rice?
It is Jerry Rice at 151.
Super Bowl 23
Kelce
against the Cincinnati Bengals. Way to rub it in my face.
Who was the kicker in that game?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
The great Jim Breach. Breach's dad. So that's the great thing. But Travis Kelce is going to miss the record by 1 yard. He has all sorts of records, as you see here if you're watching us on the old HQ, and I think he's going to go bananas, as Brinson likes to say.
I think they say B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Bananas.
That's right. Okay. I'm going to go with my bold prediction. I'm going to go back to the Eagles. Again, you can probably tell where we're headed with our picks and our predictions based on how we're going with these bold predictions. My wide receiver number one in my heart, a man that I don't love more than, like, my son, but I love him like definitely more than like several family members who are like within a like decently close range to immediately. Right,
let's for the holidays and you.
Yeah, this guy's digging a deep hole.
Let's get this is gonna end up in court.
We're not gonna name any specific names, Mom.
The first segment that ever gets subpoenaed is gonna be this bold prediction by Brinson.
AJ Brown.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
A grown ass man.
What's his full name?
I knew this actually.
Arthur Juan Brown.
Thank you. I forgot. If you hadn't asked me, I would have known it because we talked about.
What's his nickname?
Grown ass man.
Swole Batman.
He is Swole Batman. I got a great picture of him at media night on Monday. You could tell he's feeling it. He's serious. He didn't want any of the shenanigans of media night. He turned down a chance to read a fake script from some German rogue journalists who were trying to play off the PFT Arian Foster thing. He refused to answer who he would save if he had to pick one teammate in a zombie apocalypse. This man is locked in, and he's going to go for 3 touchdowns on Super Bowl Sunday. I was going to go 150 yards. That feels weak, Wilson.
All right, what do you got?
3 touchdowns. And by the way, you can bet that at Caesars, 35 to 1. Actually feels a little cheap relative to. They may have moved it because of me, honestly. So 3 touchdowns for A.J. Brown.
The Brinson bump.
That's right, the Brinson bump, as we all know. Coming up next, Travis Kelce. Can the Eagles stop him? Some defensive bowl predictions after the break here on the Pick Six Podcast Show on CBS Sports HQ. To the Pick Six Podcast Show here on CBS Sports HQ. Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan. In our haste and our excitement over being live here in Phoenix, Arizona, the enthusiasm we share for each other, we rushed through our offensive bowl predictions and forgot to grade them. So,
which is something we've been doing throughout the process.
Yeah, you know, I wish in college there was a couple times where my professor forgot to give me a grade.
Yeah.
You know what? Well, you know, I'm not going to tell you stories about my grades in college.
it's only a 25-minute show.
Exactly. So, instead, we'll start with mine. I'll let you guys grade it, and then we'll just move down.
All right, remind us quickly.
A.J. Brown, 3 touchdowns. Could be rushing, receiving. You know, he could return a kick. 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
I'll give that an A, Breach.
Yes. 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl is unheard of. I will also give it an A.
I'll give it an A-minus because I feel like Will changed it in the midst of the break there. It felt like it was receiving touchdowns, and then all of a sudden it was a
tough grader.
Very good call. Good call. Sully, by the way, I'm glad that I went first to it. I can note that you guys are cowards now that we're in person. It's like that's a B-plus at best if we're all on the podcast. Wilson, what was your...
Travis Kelce goes for 151 short of the all-time record held by Jerry Rice, Breach.
Wait, what all-time record is he going for? Total just of all-time in a single postseason?
Single game.
Or career postseason?
Well, he has all those things lined up, but the one I want specifically is 150 in the actual
Super Bowl record, I got confused. You made a prediction. I'm going to have to doubt. Is over 200. I don't have the number right in front of me. It's like 225, I want to say.
It's a tough scene.
But it is an extremely high number. And so...
I think you mean he needs 150 to catch Jerry Rice? All time?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. Go ahead.
So, I'm going to have to give your grade a C.
Wow.
I'm lucky I didn't get an I for you have to take the class over.
A C is in confused.
By the way, Debo, Debo wanted us to talk about this. All right. Go ahead, Sully.
Yeah, that's a C, Wilson.
Thank you. I'll take the C. That was a terrible C.
I'm going to give you a B minus because I like you.
Oh, thank you.
In person, I'm a much nicer grader.
Thank you. I mean, I'm actually, you can't tell, but I'm blushing.
He is blushing. I can tell I'm next to you.
All right, Breach, what's yours?
Mine was that...
Go ahead.
Mahomes throws for at least 400 yards, which has only happened 3 times in Super Bowl history.
That sounds right. It's bowl. B plus. I don't like you very much. Go ahead. Okay. Brinson?
I'll give you an A minus. No, you know, I'm going to go B plus. I'm going to go B plus because I feel like there's a loophole here. And because you try, and because we have a $50 bet on the 350 yard thing, I know you got some loophole there too.
You're the guy that literally created a loophole as soon as we came back from break, and Tyler called you out for it.
No, well, you should. All right,
Sully, what's your remind us?
Yep, Jalen Hurts shatters the rushing record by Steve McNair, which is 64. Yeah. He goes for over 100.
Go ahead, Breach.
I'm going to give it an A minus. It's bold, but I didn't know the record was so low. It's just such a low number. Yeah, yeah.
But I give Sully credit for going above and beyond the record, so I'm giving him an A.
A plus would have been 150. A minus is 100.
I give him an A.
Yeah, I'll give him an A as well. Look, sure. Sully is rapidly moving up the ranks. You're already number two in the Breachy and Power ranks of finding like pretty solid loopholes to come up with these like. And also, you know, hurt shoulder. If he ran for 100 yards, that would be pretty.
By the way, quickly, if you follow us on the podcast, we've been doing these rankings all playoffs, and I was in first place. And by virtue of the fact that I misread the actual question, I may have been disqualified from the competition. But we'll move on to the defensive side.
Yeah, and I have 1 point so far this season, so that's pretty good by me. Defensive bold predictions. Breach, we'll begin with you. What is your defensive bold prediction for the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Defensive bold prediction is that the Kansas City Chiefs pick off three passes, which means we're going to see Jalen Hurts throw three interceptions. He did not throw three interceptions in any game this season. I just think his shoulder's a little banged up. I think Kansas City can jump out to a lead. They're going to Eagles have to throw a little bit more than they would like. And I don't think we talked about these the young Chiefs secondary earlier this week. They're not going to be intimidated. They went against T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase in the AFC title game. They acquitted themselves well. I think they can handle Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. I don't think they're going to shut them down, but I'm going to say the Chiefs get three interceptions.
Doing a vote now, Brenton?
Yeah. We'll get through and do the
Tyler, why don't you vote on that? Yeah.
I'll give you a B on that. B plus.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Which is it?
B plus.
Okay, B plus.
Oh, wait, and fun fact, no quarterback has thrown three interceptions since Super Bowl 39, and it was also an Eagles quarterback. Go full.
I'm going to get. I actually Donovan like McNabb. This. I think this is a great bold prediction. I will give you an A, young Ben Affleck.
Yep, thank you. I'm going to give you an A, young John Leguizamo.
There it is.
I think that look, three. If Jalen Hurts, if the Eagles throw three interceptions against a secondary that is largely comprised of, you know, like rookie cornerbacks, that would be a pretty shocking situation, especially given their receivers. But the way that they played against, if they play the way they played against the Bengals. And they get three interceptions in this game, it's going to get ugly for
and,
these
and where's
teams.
My out? It is maybe there's right before halftime. He throws a Hail Mary, gets picked off. That's one. That's
yeah.
Right. Gardner Minshew comes in. Yeah, we get it.
We don't need it. Yeah. And Gardner Minshew comes in. Gets traded for a third round pick later.
Yes.
All right, Tyler Sullivan, your bold prediction on the defensive side of the ball.
I am going to go with the Eagles sack Patrick Mahomes 6 times.
Wow.
This would be the most in his career. He had 5 back in week 10 during the 2018 season. He's going to be under siege throughout the entire Super Bowl. And you look at what the Philadelphia Eagles front seven has been able to do. They are on a absolutely historic pace. 78 sacks, including the playoffs this season. That's the third most in NFL history. They have multiple guys with multiple guys with 12 or more sacks. To me, they have just been absolutely dominating against these quarterbacks, and I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be the latest victim.
So let me double up, because mine actually coattails on Sully's, and then we'll do the double vote like we sometimes do on the actual podcast. My bold prediction is that the Eagles get 25. No, my bold prediction is that Hassan Reddick, who, as Sully sort of alluded to, 16 sacks in the regular season, 19.5 sacks total throughout when you combine the playoffs. Hassan Reddick will have 4.5 sacks, 4.5 sacks in this game, tying the NFL record in the Super Bowl, held by Charles Haley and, of course, Von Miller a few years ago. So 4.5 for me, 6 total according to Sully. Breach, you can vote in however order you'd like.
I am going to say this is an A plus. That is an A because 4.5 by one person slightly beats 5 sacks by the entire team. But I think they are both very good predictions. And I think, again, I don't know, Ryan, you need to hire me as your stat guy to look up your records. I think 4.5 sacks is the career record. So you're saying that Hassan Reddick is going to tie the career record in one Super Bowl, which makes it even more impressive.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. So, 5 games for Charles Haley, 2 games for Von Miller.
Even though you didn't mean that,
I knew that one.
So just to be clear, Hassan Reddick is going to tie Von Miller's 2-game record.
Charles Haley's 5-game record.
Charles Haley, 5 Super Bowls at 4.5 sacks. Okay.
Top that.
I'm going to give Sully an A-, and I'm going to give Ryan a B.
Tough day for Wilson, let's be honest here.
Look, this is an unusually...
Does the most research.
This is an unusual confusion level for Wilson. Additionally, it's like, It kind of contradicts most of your other, like, it feels like you're very Chiefs on Chiefs here. And then you've got Hassan Reddick with 4.5 sacks. Like, if Mahomes gets sacked 4.5 times by Hassan Reddick, it's going to be a tough day.
But in the first round, the first Bengals playoff game, I had Joe Burrow getting crushed, but I had them winning. So I was, that's sort right, of the angle yeah, I'm going with.
Okay. All right. This is totally fine.
But I am struggling, no doubt about yeah. that.
I think Wilson needs to go into the Aaron Rodgers dark yeah. chamber yeah. for a little bit.
I was making fun of that. Joke's on me.
Do we need you 4 days.
Do we need any?
I need a grade here. I'll give you an A- because I feel like mine's an A, and I want to be better than that.
Okay, that's right. That's fair.
And I'll give Tyler an A. Tyler's was good.
Okay, my bold prediction actually sort of ties in with those a little bit. Hassan Reddick scores a touchdown in this game.
Ooh.
I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not going to lock it in on as like a strip sack fumble or an interception. I just think that this guy he's such a freak athlete. I mean, you know, even coming out of college, you know, he was drafted by the Cardinals. It just felt like he was going to be sort of one of those new wave defenders. It didn't work out exactly the way that Arizona wanted it to. Had a great last year with them. Goes to Carolina. Insanely productive, despite playing for a wrinkled khaki pal, Matt Rhule, his old college coach, and then gets his free agent contract in Philadelphia to come back home. He loved it in Carolina, wanted to keep playing for Rhule, but really wanted to come back home. Comes back home and doesn't just like live up to the money, exceeds the contract that they gave him, and has been one of the biggest additions for Philadelphia this offseason. Hassan Reddick, touchdown. And I would at least sprinkle.
You're good.
No. I'm not suggesting... This is part of the bold prediction. Okay. I'm suggesting for those listening or watching out there, maybe just sprinkle a little bit of Hassan Reddick, Super Bowl MVP.
Ooh,
and that's what four and a half sacks will get you.
There we go.
By the way, can I point out quickly that Breach didn't have to say anything on either of my bold predictions.
He chose to call me out. He's like, I do happen to have this in the back of my head.
He is.
If somebody's listening and they're thinking that is not even close to correct, I'd rather have us be.
He is well actually Oscar from The Office. Well actually. Anyway, I'm giving Brinson an A. What do you got?
I'm also going. Well, actually, I'm not going to give him an A. I'm going to give him an A-. Because he laughed at your joke for making fun of me.
Okay.
I'll give you an A. I mean, it's been fantastic.
This is the best performance of my postseason career in the bowl prediction game.
This is going to be the 49ers. What was the big comeback game in the playoffs? Oh, the Jaguars-Chargers in terms of me leading early in this contest.
Yeah. You're the Chargers up 27-0.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm Doug Peterson, and I'm
I should have stayed in the locker room.
Okay. That's it. Is that no? Do we get all the defensive predictions?
We have them all.
The new format kind of threw me off a little bit. Okay, we have some more bold predictions that we'll give out, and we're going to do them after the break. Some fun, odd, quirky, off-kilter bold predictions that we'll grade coming up next here on the Pick 6 Podcast Show on CBS Sports HQ.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast Show here on CBS Sports HQ. Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan hanging out here in lovely Phoenix, Arizona, the home, the site of Super Bowl 57. That's right. In the past 45 minutes or so, I have learned how to read Roman numerals. There's a big giant sign up there promoting chips of some kind. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say what kind on air, so I won't, but...
Brinson chips.
Yeah, Brinson chips. Poker chips.
No one would ever buy Brinson chips.
I would buy Brinson chips.
That's already out of business. Move on to a different idea.
All right. Next up, there goes all my funds invested into Brinson chips. Foolishly, I suppose. We've given out offensive and defensive bold predictions, and now it's time for some fun, quirky, odd bold predictions. This is basically just anything you want. It can be special teams. Can be, the coin lands, like straight up
on somehow, edge.
On edge, like no heads, no tails, complete and utter chaos. There's a blackout. The stadium has a blackout, power outage, like Breach caused in New Orleans at one time.
2013.
In order to get hired by CBS, it forced his hand. It was a weird thing, but he's admitted to it. Ironically sabotaging CBS Super Bowl to get hired by CBS. Anywho, Breach, Let me guess. You've got some kind of kicker prediction.
You're half right. We all knew I was going to do some sort of special teams prediction. That's exactly what I'm going to do, although it's not directly kicker related. My bold prediction is that there will be a special teams touchdown in the Super Bowl. This could be a kickoff return touchdown. This could be a punt return touchdown. This could be a punt block return for a touchdown. This could be a blocked field goal. When special teams are on the field, there will be a touchdown. And I will just say, there has never been a punt return touchdown in the history of the Super Bowl. There have only been 10 punt return or kickoff return touchdowns in 56 Super Bowls. Here we have, looks like, Devin Hester.
Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff.
Yep. I don't think there has been a kickoff return for a touchdown.
I had Devin Hester MVP at like 70-1 in that Super Bowl. I was losing my mind after that kickoff. And then, of course, nothing from Rex Grossman the rest of the way. Jacoby Jones?
Yep, and that was one of the last two.
Where you sabotaged the Super Bowl.
The last kickoff return touchdown was Percy Harvin for the Seahawks. So it doesn't happen often. You don't see a lot of special teams touchdowns. That's my bold prediction.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a clarifying question, Breach. Let's say that Hassan Reddick is on the punt team and it's
and
blocked
the kick and returns,
and
for
returns it. Who gets the points?
Ooh. You or I give that to Breach. I mean,
what?
Absolutely. Come on now.
The judge has spoken, so I'm taking
the
it.
Judge. That is the game. Right.
I get points for that.
No, it's because he looks like Ben Affleck.
He just said
no, we're each getting a half point at worst for that.
That's not what Sully said.
Sully's not the judge. If Hassan Reddick scores a freaking touchdown by blocking a punt and housing it, I will be getting half a point.
You and I can't vote because it's our stat. So Wilson asked the question, so it's 1-0.
No, sure. We'll go to. We'll find Joe Musa or something. He can be our impartial.
Does that mean you're giving my bowl prediction A+?
I was going to Sully vote on the bowl prediction.
I'll give it an A. I'll give it an A. That is good stuff.
I'm going to give it a C+. Because you.
Here we go.
Sorry for the snort.
I give your grade a D+.
Because you tried to take part of my points, and I think there was a failure to breach it by this by saying some special teams points will be scored. You really left yourself open for safety here. A block punt for a safety. You could have.
Brinson, a field goal would be a special teams point. That would be the least bold prediction of all time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, all right, whatever. But if you still get fine, B-. You want a B-?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. Well, who's next?
You got to grade Breaches.
Oh, I'm sorry, Breach. I'll give you an A.
Okay. All right. Next up, Sully.
I will go with there will be a two-point conversion attempt in this game. Happened last year, and you had one obviously converted and actually scored way back in Super Bowl 52 with the Philly Special. That one wasn't really fun for me, but I think that that's what's going to happen. They've had a two-point conversion attempt in 15 of the last 28 Super Bowls since the two-point conversion was put into place in 1994. I think we're going to see one with two aggressive coaches in Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni.
I'll be honest. We've got to move quickly here. I'll give it a B-, so you're better than that.
I'm going to give it a B. If you would have said converted two-pointer, I would have probably bumped it up, but just an attempt, I can't.
Yeah, I saw that on the rundown and thought, B-.
Oh, boy. All right, so am I up?
Yeah, Wilson, what you got?
So Carl Cheffers and his crew is calling this game. Carl Cheffers has averaged 13 penalties per game this season, 13-plus penalties last season. There are only going to be 7 penalties called. They're going to say don't do it, but there's going to be one controversial penalty that might decide this game. What do you think, Breach?
A- for a referee prediction. I love it.
Okay.
I'll give you an A- too.
Give you B+ because you're a man.
Yeah, that's probably
I'll take it.
All right, and finally, I'm going to say that this will be the highest scoring Super Bowl in NFL history. I believe 75 points is the record. I will say more than 75 points. A total shootout, a close game, points galore, an absolute delightful show. What do you think?
All A's.
A+.
Yeah, sounds fun.
All A's? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're
that's
proud
a good
of you.
One.
Oh, well, that's, I didn't think I'd get a sweeping A's. I thought at least there'd be some pushback. But, you had to make sure that you left me an entire minute on the clock here.
You didn't predict that Mike Glennon would throw a touchdown pass to the Super Bowl, so to step up from the first playoff game.
That was conceivable, considering that, who's the quarterback starting for the
Super Bowl? Because he was on the roster, but in reality.
The quarterback!
Right.
Who's the starter? Like,
Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson. Oh, come on, man. You tell me Skylar Thompson couldn't have gotten benched or got hurt at some point, and we end up with Mike Glennon in that game? It's entirely possible. All right. That'll do it for us here on Bold Predictions Day, Bold Predictions Tuesday, as we do every week of the playoffs. Make sure to check out the Pick 6 podcast. Hit up this QR code. Watch it now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And continue to watch CBS Sports HQ and the devastatingly handsome Chris Hassel live from Phoenix all week long. Watch on Fire TV or wherever you get your HQ. Thanks for watching. For Brinson, Breach, Sully, and Wilson, I'll see you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.